This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
This episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by the Moultrie Mobile Feed Hub. How many times have you gone to check your deer feeder only to realize that it wasn't working properly and your well-planned hunt would be a waste of time because there's no telling how long it had been empty or clogged? Well, the Feed Hub solves all of these problems by bringing the power and convenience of cellular technology directly to your deer feeder. With the Feed Hub, you have complete control over feed times, and you can rest easy knowing your feeder is working properly and you'll be ready for your next hunt. The Feed Hub's universal design means it'll work with most major brands of feeders, and you can learn more information at MoultrieMobile.com. Hey guys, I'm Cameron Stover from HuntingGearDeals.com, and today on the Hunting Gear Podcast, we're going to cover an early season whitetail hunting checklist for archery hunters. So hopefully you've been preparing for the upcoming archery season, shooting your bow, fine-tuning your shooting process, scouting, and you're ready to get rock and roll for the upcoming season. However, take a listen to this checklist to make sure you've checked all the boxes. That way you're ready for the high temperatures that we expect to see at the start of the season. If you're lucky enough to live or hunt in a state that allows a velvet archery hunt, or just the start of archery season in September, chances are the temperatures are a lot higher than what we're used to seeing in the whitetail rut, which is where most of us do our hunting at. So our gear and our experience does not apply the same in the early season as it does during the rut. So let's dive deep into this early season checklist and see what kind of hunting gear that we're going to need to prepare ourselves for the upcoming start of bow season. First, Let's take a listen to some of our sponsors that make this podcast possible. Tacticam's Reveal Cellular Trail Cameras offer exceptional power, longevity, and superior image quality, regardless of the time of day. These cameras boast the fastest shutter trigger, the longest detection range, and the sharpest image quality with minimal motion blur, even in nighttime conditions. With multi-carrier support, a weather-resistant design, instant photo delivery, and user-friendly operation, the Reveal Cellular Camera is an essential tool for any outdoors person. Today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Scents. Not only do they have an extensive lineup of deer scents and urines, but they also have some scent elimination products like laundry detergent, field spray, and everything else you need. So before you get started with your hunt this season, be sure to check out Code Blue Scents. Welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm excited to dive into the early season whitetail hunting checklist. Starting off our list is none other than hunting clothing. Now, this should be no surprise to everybody, but your hunting clothing should accentuate the circumstances in which you're hunting at that point in time. Now, there's probably a lot of listeners out there that actually don't hunt in camouflage all the time. In fact, you don't have to have camouflage to be successful, especially during the early season where you have a lot of vegetation and cover to conceal yourselves with. So if you don't have a bunch of high-end camo, don't jump out and invest in it. You might have something in your closet right now that can help you get in the field and be comfortable during this time of year. However, I will say that I am a camouflage guy. I have specific patterns that I wear for certain circumstances, so I'm not going to discourage you from wearing camouflage. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to do that. Find a pattern that works for the environment in which you're hunting in. Personally, I wear the same turkey hunting clothing in the spring that I also carry with me in the early part of archery season. Now, a universal pattern allows me to increase my hunting budget and get more bang for my buck out of that gear. So what am I wearing? Well, a lightweight breathable pant and a lightweight breathable shirt that has a built-in hood. These two options allow me to layer if I need to, add more to it, or take some away. To be honest with you, I've even found myself hunting in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt before. If you have the concealment, or maybe even a ground blind, you don't even need that much, to be honest with you. So the one unique characteristic that the early season has that the late season doesn't is high temperatures. So you have to make sure you have the right clothing and gear to get started, or you're going to be off on the wrong foot. So take a good look at your hunting options. If you don't have the clothing, well, Labor Day's here. There are some great deals and discounts on hunting clothing. And just so happens, there's a company out there teasing a brand new clothing pattern that's about to be released shortly after Labor Day. But we won't talk about that just now. So, what should you look for in your hunting clothing? Well, science will tell us there's basically two main materials that control the hunting space, whether it's a merino wool blend or a synthetic fiber mixture. Both have positives and negatives, and there's a lot of information that you probably listen to on this podcast about both options. Personally, I use a synthetic blend, not because of the moisture wicking capabilities or the fact that merino wool actually helps reduce scent. It's actually not for any of those reasons, because it doesn't do those things as well as merino wool does. It actually does something a little different. It holds up to the beating that I'm going to put it through. I'm hard on my gear. If I'm running and gunning during turkey season, of course, I'm going to catch myself on briars, and I don't want that clothing that I'm investing a lot of money in to wear as an outer layer during these hot conditions to be ripped and torn. So I want something lightweight, breathable, but I also need something tough enough to withstand those conditions in which I'm hunting in, so I don't waste my money. Now, regardless of what brand you go to, there's a lot of great options. And to be honest with you, I can help you find a discount on huntinggeardeals.com, but that's not the goal for today. The goal was to help you get started for the upcoming season and adjusting your hunting gear list to warm weather conditions. So Next up is your face covering. So I said that I have clothing that has a built-in face mask. That means I don't have to worry about losing it. It's really lightweight, and I can slide it down and take it off as needed. Some guys like to paint their face. Personally, I don't like to wear makeup. That's just not my thing. But for some guys, they're putting on their war paint, and they're going to war, and they're ready to jump in the tree, and it puts them in a good mindset, and that's perfectly fine. Whatever you do to break up your outline, if you're watching this video right now, you probably see the shine to my forehead. My skin's a little oily, so if it's glaring right now with the lighting in my office, it's probably glaring from a tree stand in the bright lights of the sun as well. So keep that into consideration, because it's very uncomfortable to wear a facial covering, even a hat, when the temperature's hot. So coming from somebody that wants to be calm and cool in those warm conditions, but you still need to be concealed. Gloves are the same way. I hate wearing gloves when it's hot, but the truth of the matter is, turkey season especially, I'm wearing some type of glove to keep my hands just concealed, but you can get away with it during archery season. So whether you wear gloves or not, that's on you. Now, hunting boots. You can really invest a ton of money in hunting boots right now. $500, $600 for a pair of high-end boots is not uncommon. And traditionally, a lot of bow hunting we've been taught to wear slip-on rubber boots to reduce our scent. The only problem with that is they're hot and sweaty. Regardless of the temperatures that you're faced with, the breathable boots, for me, my feet sweat. I have to wear an uninsulated boot the majority of the season, but just because my feet sweat, I do not like wearing boots that are insulated. So for me, I need a lightweight, mobile, 6-inch lace-up boot in order to keep my feet semi-comfortable. So for instance, I wear an Irish Setter Vapor Trek most of the hunting season. And when it gets colder, I throw on some insulated boot covers and I'm good to go. Now, one thing that makes a huge difference on my footwear is actually the socks. So for the $20 that I can invest in a high quality pair of socks, I can go buy a 6-pack at Walmart that have cotton blend that isn't going to get the job done. Take that money and buy one or two good pairs of hunting socks for lightweight, supportive socks that are going to wick moisture away from your feet, prevent you from getting blisters and just being uncomfortable, and keep those as clean as possible and scent-free. We'll talk about scent later on. But brands like Darn Tough, Smart Wool, Kuyu, there's a lot of great hunting socks. Kenetrek makes a great hunting sock. So invest in a quality sock to go with quality boots, and you'll be way more comfortable this hunting season, even when the temperatures are hot. Now, a couple more things about your hunting clothing that you should take note of this hunting season. Personally, I learned this lesson in Kentucky years ago, way before I knew what Sawyer's permethrin was. And that's that ticks and chiggers are really bad at the start of the hunting season. And it wasn't uncommon for me to get out of the woods and be miserable for the next couple of weeks because I just got to eat up. And Lyme disease and all these nasty diseases that ticks carry, you have to protect yourself from it. Luckily for us, there's a thing called permethrin. And Sawyer's makes an easy-to-use, easy-to-find spray that you can treat your clothing with before the hunt. I say before, it is not a bug spray that you apply and then hop in the tree. You actually spray this on your clothing days in advance and let them air dry outside. It's when you spray it, you can smell it. You need to protect yourself from that aerosol when you're spraying it and applying it to your clothing, your boots, your gear, your socks, whatever the case may be that you're putting it on. But make sure you do it outside, apply it, follow those directions, and you will have less ticks and chiggers on you this hunting season. In fact, there's clothing that you can buy right now that's already pre-treated to guard you against some of those bugs and stuff like that. So those have been great. I invested in a lot of that Sikwa Equinox Guard series, and it has been very great for me. That's because I'm out in the woods all the time with my day job selling properties. So I'm exposed to a lot of nasty bugs and things like that during the season and during the summer. So make sure you protect yourself. Invest in Sawyer's permethrin and treat your gear before the season. It is not a bug spray. Now, next, fighting bugs in the stand requires a little bit different approach. Now, I'm not probably going to recommend you go and spray yourself down with off or some kind of DEET, hop in a stand and smell like a citronella candle. No, take a thermocell with you. Make sure you have some extra butane cartridges and pads, but that thermocell can actually save your life. Just like ticks, mosquitoes have some really nasty diseases they carry as well, and they can ruin a hunt very quickly. As the sun goes down, you hear that buzzing, and it's just very uncomfortable, and it's hard to hold still when you have these little things chewing on you and poking at you the whole time. So make sure you pack a thermocell, because you never know when you're going to run into one of those nasty little mosquito nests, and it just makes for a miserable hunting experience if you don't have it. So that kind of wraps up the hunting clothing option. There, you have a lot of options on the market to customize your fit, your feel, but the truth of the matter is it doesn't really matter what brand you go with as long as you enjoy wearing that clothing in the field. And it's lightweight. You can add layers. You can take layers away. But the truth of the matter is, the start of this hunting season, we're looking at 80s, 90 degree weather in areas that I'm going to be hunting. And to be honest with you, if my trail cameras continue to show me what they're showing me, I'm not going to miss out on this opportunity, even if I'm looking at 80 degree temperatures, because the slight 15 degree drop from 95 to 80 can be dynamite during that early season. All right, the next step in my checklist for the early season whitetail hunts is actually a controversial topic, and that's scent control. Now, you're either on one side of the fence with scent control or the other. You either A, are doing everything you can to reduce your human odor and unwanted odors are taking in the field, or you don't care and you just hunt the wind. Either way you do that, that's fine. That's the way you do it. The way I do it is I'm trying to reduce the amount of odor that I'm bringing with me. On a scale of 0 to 100, you stop at the gas station on the way to hunt. You have your hunting clothes and your boots on. You took a bath in Axe body deodorant, Axe body wash, and you've got the stinkiest, most unnatural smelling deodorant on. You stop at the gas station, you step in the puddle of gas, and then you hop in a tree stand. Your stinkness level to a deer, you're at 100. Well, what if I said you could reduce that by 10, 20, 30, 50% just by being more careful and cautious? Would you do it? Of course. Factor in the wind as well, and you can further reduce that. So that's kind of where I'm telling you to be. I'm not saying you have to be as extreme with scent control when it's going to work 100% of the time. No, you should still understand the wind directions and how to hunt those areas safely. But one thing I've noticed in the areas that I hunt is I never have a consistent wind. I go out to the Midwest, Kansas, for instance. If it says it's a west wind, it's a west wind all day long. I can always see the wind blowing, or I always feel the wind blowing one direction. But that's not the case in Ohio, West Virginia, places that I grew up hunting. The mountains, the terrain, it doesn't allow for those winds to stay consistent. And one side of the hill may be very different than the other. Yes, you can jump in a tree and you can try to predict those from one area to the next, how that's going to be during the preseason. But the truth of the matter is, one change, one sudden shift of that current, and you've ruined your hunt. And it's happened to me time and time again. So that is why I stress the importance of scent control. Not because I believe that I can be 100% scent free, but because I know that I can reduce the amount. So if you're still interested in listening, here is a little bit about my scent control process that is especially important during the early season. Because to be honest with you, I'm sweating more and I stink more during the early season when it's hot. And you probably do too. The first step for all of us is washing our clothing in a scent-free laundry detergent. Now, there's some steps you should take with your washer and dryer to kind of purge it of any unwanted odors. Thankfully, my household, we use a free and clear laundry detergent all year long, so it doesn't stink with these natural, stinky lavender scents and things like that that you might have. So that's step one. wash a load of towels or something like that in a scent-free detergent to kind of purge those scents out of your washer and dryer. Step two, wash your hunting clothing. Sounds pretty simple, right? The next step is once I take it out of the dryer, I spray it down with field spray and I let it dry. The particular brand that I utilize, and no, they're not a sponsor of the podcast or anything like that, but it requires me to apply it and allow and let it dry. It is not a in the field walking to the tree stand magic spray that you apply and you become scent free. It's actually designed to be absorbed into the materials and do its job in fighting unwanted odor. So follow the directions on whatever brand that you utilize and you introduce those products in the right series of steps. Once I've allowed that field spray to dry on the clothing, I treat it with ozone, and then I store it in a scent-free container. Now, when I'm traveling to the hunt, I'm using a scent-free container and a dry wash system, and I'm using ozone again. Even though I ozoned it when I stored it 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I'm still going to do a dry wash on the way to the hunt. So that's how I get started with the clothing. Now, we've all probably utilized the green soap or whatever kind of scent-free body wash that's on the market, but I always take a nice scent-free shower, and I use a core body foam that keeps me from producing more unwanted odors. And to be honest with you, I wear it kind of like deodorant. It's like a full-body foam deodorant. I really like that stuff. And lastly, I utilize ozone in the tree. The problem is, if you don't know the wind direction, if you don't take a wind indicator with you, you may not be utilizing it effectively. So if you don't understand ozone, make sure you go back and listen to some of the podcast episodes that Dan has recorded with Ozonix and companies like that and understand the science behind it, because there's no denying the capabilities of scent control when it comes to using ozone. And brands like Ozonix have patented the use of in the tree and your design, basically putting a blanket of ozone between you and that deer and reducing how much is coming. That's the generalized way in which it shoots. The problem is you have to make sure you maintain that wind direction, because if you've got your ozone unit blowing to your right and the wind is actually blowing to the left, guess what? You're not using it correctly. There's no point in having it. So regardless of your stance on scent control, I'm going to urge you this season to give it a shot. It's not a magic cure-all to poor hunting conditions or poor choices that you make in the field, but it will effectively reduce the amount of scent that you're putting off. Now, whether that deer is going to tolerate you at 10% or 50%, I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going to stack every card in my favor to give me the upper hand when it's time to make the shot. Now, enough about scent control. Let's get back on track. And here are some items that you probably overlooked, and if you're not prepared for, you're going to get caught with your pants down. Let's hope not anyways. So what happens after the shot? Everything's come together. You've made a game plan to get into the tree. You've scouted. You've prepared. You've predicted that this buck is going to be under your stand at this time on opening day, and it happens. Then what happens? Well, first off, in high temperatures, you've got to be able to quickly recover that animal, so you better make a good shot. Hopefully, you've spent more time shooting your bow this year than ever before, and you are ready. You know that when you settle that pin and you squeeze that trigger off, that arrow is going to find its mark, and you're going to take a smooth, clean, ethical shot each and every time. But I can't give you archery tips and things like that. If you want to know that stuff, listen to a podcast with Levi Morgan or Chris B, some of those archery greats that are going to help you fine-tune your shooting process. It's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about what happens after that arrow is released. You got to find your buck. So give it the time that's necessary, but make the great shot. Once you've found your deer, it's time to start field dressing it. So you're going to need a good, clean, sharp knife. And the chances are you probably don't have a full butchering kit. I don't carry a full butchering kit with me. I carry one knife, and that is a old Outdoor Edge swing blaze knife. It has a flippable blade that has a gutting knife on one side and a skinning knife on the other. The gutting knife keeps me from punching the stomach and making a mess. And if you've ever done that, you know that you don't want to do it again, especially during the early season when it's hot, because you have a limited time to field dress that animal, break it down, and get it cooled before that meat starts to spoil. And any contamination is going to further reduce that time that you have. So make sure you have a good sharp knife and you're fully understand how to field dress a deer. I can remember back my very first deer, and it wasn't during the early season. I was like 14, maybe a freshman, sophomore in high school. And this was in November during a rifle season. I had never killed a deer before. And we got a day off from basketball practice. And our coach said, go deer hunting if you deer hunt. So I'm like, all right, let's go. So I didn't have a place to go. Mom finds a place. And yes, I said my mother. My mom was who took me at this age because that's all I had. So we get set up. I'm on this field edge. Mom gives up. She goes to the truck. She got cold. Long story short, this buck steps up out of nowhere. I pull the trigger, shoots. I get to track him and find him at the end of that blood trail. And then she asks, what do we do now? And I said the same thing because I had never field dressed an animal, let alone was I capable of dragging a 200 plus pound buck out of the woods to the truck. Thankfully, some nice gentleman come bebopping down the hill on a four wheeler and he said, I'll help you. And he gets to the deer and he said, that's the buck that I've been hunting. And I showed up out of the blue with permission to hunt this small 30-acre tract and killed it. And you know what he did? He did what all of us should have done. He jumped off the four-wheeler. He helped me drag this deer. He showed me how to gut it and even helped me load it in the back of the truck. Shook my hand, told me congratulations. And to be honest with you, I don't know his name. But I am thankful that day that he was there to help me. Now, chances are you're not going to have that opportunity, but you could be the person that helps the next person. So return that favor. Now, let's get back. So what happens after the shot? You've gutted the deer. You have two choices. Either A, drag this deer back to the truck, or B, you're going to have to quarter it out. If you're going to quarter it out, you have to be able to have a knife and tools sharp enough and capable enough of skinning that deer and breaking it down accordingly. But you also have to do it quickly. There are a lot of great game bags out there. And a game bag is designed to encompass that deer, that quarter, allow you to pack it out without contaminating it. And I will tell you, not from personal experience, but from talking with enough hunters that travel out west, those Kuyu game bags are some of the best on the market. They're lightweight, packable, and reusable. So they're a little bit more expensive than most, but if you're going to be the guy that has to quarter a lot of animals out, go ahead and invest in those Kuyu game bags. They're worth the weight, the time, and money that you're going to invest in them. Now, before the field dressing starts, let me back up. So if you're not going to quarter that deer out, you have to drag it out. And I'll be honest with you, it's not easy. I don't care how big and bad you are. You kill a big enough buck, you're going to need some help. And one thing that you can do to reduce the effort and the amount of work that's built into it is to invest in a deer cart. And one thing you can do to reduce the workload from the drag and speed that process up is to have a deer cart in the vehicle ready to go. When I started traveling out on doing out-of-state hunts and stuff like that, I would go to public land and I would always see this old guy with a beat-up truck and a game cart in the back. And I thought, what's he need that for? But I know what the general purpose was, but at the end of the day, that was the last thing on my mind was how to get that deer out. I was only concerned with how do I get that deer down. But somebody with a little bit more experience he's not only thinking about how to get the deer on the ground, but also how to get it back to the truck. So invest in that game cart as well, especially if you're going to be hunting by yourself. If not, you're going to need to call a friend. Now, back to field dressing. So you can barehand it, which I don't recommend, or you can protect yourselves and your clothing by wearing gloves. Now, Wicked North Gear has these cool big game field dressing kits. And they come with these big, long gloves that come up past your elbows, as well as the small Dr. Nitrile gloves. So one of the most overlooked items that I carry in my hunting backpack, regardless of the time of year, are gutting gloves. There's a lot of different options on the market, but I'm talking about not only gloves that come up to your wrist, but gloves that come up past the elbow. And these large gloves are very cheap. They're like a couple bucks a pack. Or you could buy those cool field dressing kits that Wicked North Gear has, and they've got everything that you need to even clean it up afterwards. But the truth of the matter is, I would recommend you wear gloves, not only to protect yourself, but to protect your gear, keep your hands clean, because the truth of the matter is, you're probably going to be stopping at a gas station to buy ice or something to drink on the way home, and you don't want to come out looking the way the non-hunting public expects you to look. The last thing you want to do is to walk in with a big old smile on your face and be like, I just killed this big old buck, and you look like you just killed an animal with your bare hands. Regardless of what you think about that and how that may be considered, well, if you're wearing gloves, you're not hunting or you're not tough enough. The truth of the matter is, as hunters, we have to be good stewards and good representatives to the non-hunting public just as much as we are in the field when we are hunting by ourselves. So protect yourself, protect other hunters, and wear some gloves. It's not that big a deal. And then take those gloves with you. Don't leave them laying around. Now, off my soapbox about gloves, if you don't know already, guys, I was a safety guy in my previous line of work. So PPE is one of those things that I've always encouraged not only my fellow employees to wear, but I also encourage other hunters just like you to utilize as well. So, there are some other products that will help keep that animal from spoiling. There's a spray that you can apply to the meat from Coolabuck. It's an antimicrobial game spray. And basically, when you quarter that animal out or field dress it, you can spray it down. And it'll keep the bacteria from growing. And that bacteria is kind of what allows it to spoil or from being unedible, I should say. So follow the directions on those products. They're very inexpensive. You can actually afford to buy a can or two of those for the upcoming season. And if you're not lucky enough to get to use it, throw them away after their shelf life. It's not that big a deal, but it will save you and extend the time frame that you have to get that deer back on ice or in a cooler. The other product is really cool, and you may not need it if the buck has already shed its velvet. And it's called Velvalock, and it's a velvet antler preservative. So if you kill a velvet buck, you understand that that velvet is living tissue, and you have to protect it. So you spray on this product, and it adheres to the velvet and saves it and preserves it so that you can get it quickly to your taxidermist, and you can have a beautiful mount of a velvet deer without it being damaged and rotting. So invest in that if you're going to be hunting states like Kentucky, Tennessee, the Dakotas as well. And to be honest with you, the urban season in West Virginia, I sometimes have an option to kill a velvet deer. There's a velvet 10 point right there on the wall. So invest in the Velvalock if you're going to be away from your taxidermist and not have access to a cooler or something like that to preserve it. It's pretty cheap. It's like 20, 30 bucks for a bottle of it. A couple other things that you should consider carrying with you in your backpack in warm weather conditions for the hunt include some type of hydration system. It could just be a couple water bottles. got a water bottle here with me, but I can assure you on an 80 degree hunt where I'm packing a tree stand and gear and hopefully dragging a deer with me, this 16 ounce bottle is not enough. So a hydration bladder and extra bottles of water in the truck and even the backpack is very essential to your success. And it reminds me of an episode of The Hunting Public where the guys were chasing deer on foot midday. They didn't take any water with them, and they were extremely dehydrated by the time they got back to the truck because they weren't prepared to be gone that long and wait that deer out. Same situation can happen to you. So even if you're planning on only hunting for a couple hours, that hunt, success or failure, could be extended for a long time. So take extra water with you. And yes, it's going to be hot at the end of the day, and it's not going to be too pleasant to drink, but having good, clean water available to you after a intense drag, whew, there's nothing better. So make sure you have water with you and stay hydrated. Now, if this was the wintertime, I would also tell you to have some food and snacks, but the chances are you probably are only hunting in the evenings and a short hunt in the morning if you're hunting in the morning. So you might be able to skip the snacks there, but if you need some snacks, bring some snacks too. A couple other things that you need is a rangefinder. Let's face it, the vegetation, the newness of the hunting season, it's very easy to get in a hurry. And if you're doing run and gun hunts and you're not familiar with the hunting area, it's good to know and spend the time practicing with your rangefinder. You should practice with your rangefinder enough once you get in the stand to where you don't need it once the deer comes into view. You should already know those distances. Practice those distance. Estimate whether you're practicing your with your bow on the shooting range, in your backyard, or in the tree. Carry a rangefinder with you. Take the time to estimate and guesstimate the yardage between you and the next tree, you and a doe that's approaching, and practice with it so you can positively identify your target and the distance you are from it. Because in archery, 5 yards is a big difference between making a good shot and making a terrible shot. Lastly, one of the products that you needs to be in your backpack is binoculars. Now, a lot of guys prefer to wear a bino harness and keep them on your chest, but to be honest with you, I don't want to carry anything else on my body than what I have to. So they're going in my pack or hanging with me in the tree, not being worn on my chest, because I need that breathability at all times. So the time frame and size. So the size of the binos are going to that you're. So if you think back to the Maven Optics podcast that we recorded, and we were trying to find out like what's the best binocular size to use. To be honest with you, it's kind of up to you, but I do know from my experiences, it's the vegetation doesn't allow me to see very far in the woods. So I do not need a 10 power bino. An 8 power is just fine. And to be honest with you, the 7 power on my rangefinder that I have right now is plenty for most bow hunting scenarios. Now, if you're hunting an open area, like fields and food sources or CRP, then you need good quality long distance binos. A 10 or even 12X would be nice from the tree stand sometimes. But if you're hunting inside the timber in thick areas and vegetation's an issue, you can get by with a smaller, more compact bino. Just keep in mind, light gathering is key. So the light inside the timber with leaves on is completely different at the same time frame as what it is on a field edge. On a field edge, you may be able to see 200 yards. In the timber at the exact same time on the same property, you may only be able to see 30 or 40 yards because the shade generated by the cover on the leaves, the foliage. So a few other items that you can carry with you in your backpack, but you don't necessarily have to, might be a grunt call. Now you might think, why would I utilize a grunt call during the early season, especially like the first part of September? Hey, let's face it. Everybody needs a Hail Mary every now and then. And to be honest with you, deer utilizing vocalizations all year long to communicate. They don't just communicate during the rut. Those communications between deer will change from the rut to the regular season. And you cannot come out and be aggressive with that calling. But hey, if you need to stop a deer in his tracks, pick up a grunt call. Maybe you can pull him across and spark his curiosity. A wind checker is something that everybody should be utilizing on pretty much any hunt, whether you're hunting elk, whether you're hunting mule deer, pronghorn, whitetails, whatever. You should have some type of wind indicator to help you keep track, whether you're making a spot and stalk hunt, sitting in a tree stand, or anywhere else during that hunting scenario. You can either A, buy some of the powdered wind checkers where you push the, where they're in this little plastic container and it puffs up this powder. You can have the digital vape style wind indicators or old fashioned Dan Infault version of milkweed, drop it, let it wind, watch it fall. Whatever you choose to utilize, make sure you have it readily accessible and monitor those wind conditions during your hunt, not only during the early season, but all season long. Another thing that you're probably going to want to carry and make sure you change the batteries out before the season is a good flashlight. I prefer the small black diamond headlamps. They're a little bit more expensive. They're nice and bright. They're lightweight. They've been very dependable for me as through the years as well. Also carry a small streamlight, fits in your pocket hand flashlight, helps me during blood trailing and things of that nature. So those are very key. I carry two lights with me and I ensure that I change those batteries out before the start of the season. And that's about it for the generic gear that I carry with me in a backpack. And I'll touch on the backpack. The backpack that I carry during the winter is not the same backpack that I carry with me during the start of the bow season. I'm trying to reduce the amount of stuff that I'm carrying with me in the field. And I also want to touch base on the backpack that I'm taking with me. There's a ton of backpacks on the market. But the backpack that I'm carrying in the fall during the rut when I need extra layers of clothing is much larger than the backpack that I carry in the early season where I don't need all that extra layers and gear and food. The biggest thing and bulkiest thing in my backpack is usually water. So make sure you have a small, lightweight backpack. A lot of guys use a bino harness and even fanny packs. But the truth of the matter is you don't want to take more gear into the woods with you because that's just more weight and more work. You probably don't need it. So, gear-wise, that's about it. Now, there are some accessories for being in the tree, and let's talk about that. So, your tree stand and your setup, whether you're a mobile hunter doing a run-and-gun set, a saddle hunter, or you're going to your favorite permanent blind that you and your grandpa built years ago. Regardless of the circumstances, you need certain gear for that. Let's start out talking about tree stands. So there's a ton of different mobile tree stands on the market. If I was going to recommend anything, it would be to invest in a good, lightweight, run-and-gun setup. Regardless of how many permanent stands you have, I will say from experience that you will hold yourself back if you don't have a run-and-gun lightweight set. Because there's too many circumstances where you've put in the time and effort to hang this 20-pound tree stand and 20-pound climbing sticks and bow holders and all this stuff to sit in a tree and watch that deer cross just out of range. And you think, yeah, next time he comes through, I'll get a shot. Or I know I should be over there, but I just don't want to go through the effort of rehanging it. With a good lightweight mobile setup, you can. And one of the biggest changes in the hunting industry in the recent years is the incorporation of tree saddles. Now, you've got guys like John Eberhardt that's been using a tree saddle longer than most of us have been hunting. But saddle hunting as a whole has only gotten popular in the last decade. So if you haven't picked up a saddle yet this year, do so. You don't have to be a saddle hunter. But I promise you, it makes hanging tree stands way easier. It frees up your hands, it locks you into the tree, you're more safe and secure, and it's less bulk and weight. I'm not saying you should wear it as a harness while you're in the tree stand. I'm saying utilize it to hang those stands. You can lock in place, and it frees up your hands to do more work. Now, you could skip all the tree stands and just be a saddle hunter. That's fine, too. especially when you're doing these quick out-of-state hunts or hunting public land. So spend some time and practice with this gear. Do not wait till opening day to climb in a tree with a brand new tree stand, brand new climbing sticks, or saddle for that mark. You need to practice. You need to practice climbing, descending, ascending, setting up, taking down in the dark, because let's face it, there's never a perfect tree. There's never enough time to do it quickly and quietly. Opening day is not practice day. You should already have a well-defined system for hanging your tree stand or saddle platform, sticks, climbing and ascending, and setting up. You should already understand how to shoot and your angles and where your blind spots are going to be when you're hunting in both scenarios. And let's face it, if you don't practice this before the season, opening day is not going to be a pleasant experience. So if you pay attention to anything on this list, make sure you practice with your gear, not just your bow, before the season takes place. And that's pretty much it as far as tree stands and stuff like that. There's bow holders and gear holders, and all that depends on whether you've got a permanent setup, hunting public, and you can't use screw-in steps. One thing you need to do is understand the rules and regulations for the hunting area in which you're in. Some areas allow you to utilize a screw-in bow holder. Some don't. To be honest with you, if you're still utilizing screw-in steps, well, you should reconsider, simply because if you own the land, it is doing damage to the tree, so you're losing money. They aren't as safe as ladders or climbing sticks. And to be honest with you, they're not going to last as long, because you're probably not going to take them out of that tree and they're going to rust and grow into the tree. So switch over to sticks. Well, that's all I can think of for my early season checklist. There's a ton of other gear that you can add to this list, and probably things that I left off that you're going to say, like, that's a no-brainer. You should have included. The truth of the matter is, take the time and make that list. You're probably listening to this with a smartphone, and it has a notes feature. And one of the things that I keep on that is a checklist for every hunting scenario, whether it be the early season, whether it be a run-and-gun hunt, or a rut hunt that I'm going to be traveling out west. And you'd be surprised how large those lists can be. So go through your gear. Start practicing and preparing for the upcoming hunting season. Don't just shoot your bow, but also practice with the gear that you're going to be using. Change out your batteries in your rangefinder, your headlamps. Make sure you have, oh my gosh, how could I forget? You got to carry a pen and your license. And in some states, you have to actually notch out the license for the dates and stuff like that. But follow those rules and regulations. Have a plan in place. And good luck this hunting season. Oh, and one more thing. Labor Day is just around the corner, guys. And if you haven't done so, do me a favor. Head over to huntinggeardeals.com. I'm going to be compiling the largest list of Labor Day hunting specific deals and sales from across the industry in one convenient location. This is a great time to buy hunting gear just before the season. You can expect some good discounts on hunting clothing, accessories from some of the brands that you and I want to buy, especially at a discount. So if you haven't done so, head over to huntinggeardeals.com, sign up for the daily deal email so that you never miss a deal, and good luck this hunting season.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.